All right, so I would like you to walk all the way down here and just walk all the way down. Excellent. Fabulous. I told you it wasn't difficult. It's dead easy. Not a lot. Okay? Now, can you go back up to the top? And I'm going to ask you to do something else, walking down. So we're going to do exactly the same thing, but I'm going to ask you to do something else. Excellent. So I would like you to walk back down the front again. And this time, instead of looking forward, I'd like you to look behind you as you walk back down to the front again. Yeah. No, I don't want you to walk backwards. I want you to walk forwards while you're looking behind. Now, is that easier or more difficult than walking forwards, looking forwards? Because you're a grown-up, it actually might be okay. Iffy, okay. Let's do it once more, and we're going to watch you this time. So you can go from this side if you like and walk backwards, but you're going to walk forwards, but you're going to look back. Anybody think that looks a bit peculiar? Yeah. Thank you, Jeremy. Perfect. Why don't you give him a round of applause? Do you know, it does look a bit peculiar, doesn't it? Looks a bit awkward and a bit daft if you're walking forwards and looking back. But actually, that's what Jesus is going to address with the disciples in Luke 9 this morning. I want to tell you a wee story, first of all. So some of you, a number of years ago, some of you met my dad a number of years ago. My dad died a few years ago. My dad was in his 90s when he died. And my dad, particularly in the latter years of his life, talked lots about the good old days and talked about how much better things were when he was a boy growing up and how they would go outside and play in the dirt and they would have marbles in the dirt and they would play together in the dirt. Or they would play the game, kick the door and run away, which he thought was a great game. Not sure how the person behind the door that he was kicking felt about it, but he thought that that was a great game. And he waxed lyrical about how great it was when he was a wee boy. He looked back really fondly to those good old days, and he used to tell me how much better things were then and how he wished that we could just go back to that time because actually it was so much better then. And he would talk about that, but he would also wax lyrical about church as well. And he would talk about the days in church that he would go into church and the church was full, that you couldn't get a seat. He would talk about the way people got dressed up to come to church on a Sunday morning and they wore their Sunday best. And he talked with great nostalgia about what he remembered. He looked back with huge amounts of nostalgia. You know, sometimes we look back to the good old days, don't we? And we think, I wish it could just be like that now. Why can't it just be the same as it used to be? We do that in our life sometimes, like my dad did. But we also do it in church as well, don't we? Sometimes we look back to the good old days in church and we think, why could it not just be like that? If you've been around White Inch for any length of time, you might recognize some of the pictures that are coming up on the screen. Jeremy, can you just gradually click through them and we'll see if MD recognizes anybody. Clearly somebody recognizes somebody. Recognize those pictures? Anybody that's been around for a while? Did you see the picture of the hall on a Sunday morning where it was so packed that we actually couldn't find any more space to get anybody else in? You know, we've all got a tendency for nostalgia, don't we? We've all got a tendency for nostalgia, wanting to look back and to remember. In actual fact, sometimes it's not wrong to look back and remember. There's a kind of looking back which actually helps us to move forward. If you think about Jesus on the night where he was betrayed, when he took the bread and the wine and he said to his disciples, every time you do this, every time you eat the bread and you drink the wine, remember me. That's not a bad looking back. That's actually a looking back in order to move forward. When you think about the Israelites, when they were crossing into the promised land, they were told to take the stones from the bottom of the Jordan and to make a monument in the promised land so that they could point to it, to the descendants of, for the years to come and say, look, this is what God did when he brought us out of Egypt. So there's a kind of looking back that actually helps us move forward. But there's a kind of looking back which actually distracts us from moving forward, which keeps us looking backwards, like Jeremy walking up there where he was continually looking backwards. And it makes moving forwards at best difficult, if not altogether impossible. That's what Jesus addresses in the passage this morning. And Jeremy's going to come and he's going to read that passage for us this morning. So Luke 9 we're looking at, verses 51 to 62. And it's going to come up on the screen as well. I love it when we multitask.
As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. And he sent messengers on ahead who went into a Samaritan village to get things ready for him. But the people there did not welcome him because he was heading for Jerusalem. When the disciples James and John saw this, they asked, "Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to destroy them, even as Elijah did?" But Jesus turned and rebuked them, and he said, "You do not know what kind of spirit you are of, for the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." And they went to another village. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." He said to another man, "Follow me." But the man replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus replied, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God."
So that's one of those passages that you read and we read it and we go, not sure that's the kind of passage I want to be reading even on a Sunday morning. That doesn't sound like the most encouraging passage to read. I want to set it in its context though. So in Luke 9, if you look at the previous chapters of Luke's Gospel, where this passage comes, the story so far goes like this. If you were here last week or watched the service last week online, then you will know that Laura talked about the man in the Gerasene, the man who was in the tombs, who was delivered and the demons cast out into the pigs. So that's where we were last week. So that's just before this particular passage happens. Also in Luke's Gospel, before this passage, we've seen Jesus calming the storm, the miracle of the storm being calmed. We've also seen the transfiguration. So we've seen Jesus going up into heaven and meeting with Elijah. We've seen all of this happening. We've also seen multiple healings. And actually, things were going really, really well. If you had been one of the disciples at that time, you could have been forgiven for thinking, we are on the winning side here, guys. You know, this man is out here. Popularity is rising. Everybody loves him. This was a really good choice to follow Jesus because this is great. And then we land in Luke chapter 9. We land in Luke chapter 9 and at the very first verse that we read this morning that says, as the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. And the word that jumped out at me in that verse is that word resolutely. You know, you don't resolutely do something if you're thinking this is going to be a great thing to do. It doesn't say Jesus skipped happily off to Jerusalem, or Jesus said, let me at Jerusalem, I really need to get there really fast because there's going to be great things happening there. Jesus resolutely sets out for Jerusalem. Jesus makes it his intention to go towards Jerusalem. You know, Jesus knew what was coming in Jerusalem. That's why he had to be resolute about going. You see, the disciples round about him saw all this popularity, saw that everybody thought Jesus was a great guy, but Jesus knew what was coming. And he knew that this journey to Jerusalem wasn't exactly going to be a bed of roses. And in order to get there, remember, fully man, fully God, Jesus' humanity says, I'm going to need to be intentional about this, because actually this is not necessarily going to be an easy journey. So Jesus, some of the translations say, sets his face to go towards Jerusalem, gets his eyes on where he's going, knowing that what's going to come on the way there is actually going to maybe even deter him from going the full hog and going all the way that he knows that he needs to go. The thing is that in this moment, Jesus knows that if he's going to move forward, then there's no looking back. He sets his face resolutely to go towards Jerusalem. And so the disciples not really getting this and not really understanding this, knowing that what they're experiencing just now is this amazing popularity of Jesus. Everybody thinks he's great, and by association that they're great too. And so Jesus goes, or he sends them ahead into this Samaritan village, and it doesn't go so well there. People aren't really falling over themselves to welcome Jesus in the Samaritan village. Can you imagine how uncomfortable that might have been for those disciples? They were used to people loving Jesus wherever he went. They were used to the crowds coming out, hanging on his every word, wanting to be there, looking for the next healing, whatever. And then they hit this opposition. And the disciples, look what they say to Jesus. When the disciples, James and John, saw this, they asked, Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven to destroy them? But Jesus turned and rebuked them. Then he and his disciples went to another village. And you look at that, and you know, I look at that, and I have some sympathy for the disciples here in terms of that. You know, we do that too, don't we? Things get uncomfortable. Things don't go the way that we want to go, and we do that. Right, will we cut it off? Will we cast it out? Will we ask Jesus to send the fire to burn it up? Now, sometimes that's right to do. But actually, Jesus knew that these guys and himself would have to go through the difficult stuff. They needed to learn how to sit with it when it wasn't a bed of roses. It's so easy to think, we'll just call the fire down and sort this out. But sometimes the invitation, like it was here, sometimes the invitation from Jesus is, can you come and sit with this? Sit in this with me? Because in actual fact, there's something happens when you sit in it that starts to change you, that starts to have you in a place where actually you can be a vessel that I can fill. We don't like sitting with the difficult stuff, but sometimes that's the thing that Jesus invites us to do. Part of the process of moving forward is often that resistance and the discomfort we feel when actually the invitation from God is to move forward. I don't know if that's a familiar place for you to be. It's certainly something that I remember, and it's something that's familiar for me. That invitation with Jesus to move forward sometimes actually starts to make us feel uncomfortable. And our tendency at that point is to do what the disciples did and try and sort it out and cut ourselves off from it. But there's something formative about how we sit with Jesus in the discomfort, and how that discomfort and resistance is actually part of the process of moving forwards. And then the passage goes on, not to the disciples in terms of their interaction with Jesus, but actually these people who come along and say that they're going to follow Jesus. The passage moves on, and these people want to move forwards with Jesus. But in actual fact, in his conversation with them, what he's pointing out to them is that he knows that the past will pull them backwards. So they need to sort that out if they're going to be able to move forward with him. And if you look at what happens in those interactions, it's a kind of thing that goes along the lines of, do you know, Jesus, I would follow you. I would do what you're inviting me to do, and I would do it right now. But there's this thing that I just need to deal with first. And if I can get that sorted, then you have got my full attention and I will move forward with you. And if I can just get this tidied up and organized, then I'll be able to step into the thing that you're inviting me to step into. And that's really the generalization of the discourse that Jesus has with these people who come to him in this passage. And then the clincher verse comes in verse 62. The real ouch verse. And it says, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom. No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. You know, the disciples who were there and who heard Jesus say this, that would be a picture or a story or a metaphor that would actually immediately capture them. Remember, they lived in a time where there's lots of farming went on. They would understand the plough being hooked up to the oxen and going through the field. And they would know that if you were a farmer in the field and you got your plough hooked up and you put your hand to the plough and then you got distracted and looked back, that your furrow wouldn't be straight. The oxen would be all over the place. That's what Jesus is getting at. Jesus is saying to the disciples, you know, you get this as far as farming's concerned, but do you get it as far as walking with me is concerned? Jesus says to the disciples, if you want to move forward, then there's no looking back. I wonder why Jesus was so concerned about this. I think Jesus was concerned about this for two reasons. One, immediately with the disciples, he knew that it was going to be really hard for the disciples to stick with this. He knew what was coming. He knew, and he was right, wasn't he, that the disciples would have real difficulty in actually continuing to move forward, not to allow things to distract them, to be pulled off one way or another, or to be pulled backwards. And I think he knows that it's the same for us too. It's the same for us too because he knows that we live with things that would pull us off course in terms of his invitation to move forward. So what causes you to take your eyes off of where you're going? What causes you to do that individually? What causes you to take your eyes off of the place that Jesus is inviting you to walk into with him? Perhaps it's relationships that cause you to take your eyes off where Jesus is inviting you to go. Perhaps there are relationships like the folks in the passage here. Perhaps there's stuff that holds you back because actually there's a relationship that you know is not going to go well if you actually step hook, line, and sinker into what Jesus is inviting you to do. Perhaps you take your eyes off where you're going because actually there's a particular lifestyle that you're not really sure that you could live without in terms of moving forward. Maybe it's core beliefs that you have about yourself or about other people or about how this whole thing works. Maybe it's social media that stops you moving forward. Maybe it's Netflix that stops you moving forward. Maybe it's the websites that you watch when nobody else can see you watching them that you hope that nobody ever knows that you're watching. Maybe it's those things that stop you moving forward, that cause you to take your eyes off of where you're going and effectively ask Jesus just to stand over there outside the door while you do the thing that you think you really need to do. The thing is that this passage really does say to the disciples and to us, if you want to move forward, then there's no looking back. I wonder what else makes you look back. Perhaps it's old relationships that make you look back. Perhaps there are old ways of being that make you look back that you think actually it was much better when I just did that and I didn't really get as involved in this. Perhaps it was much simpler then. Perhaps it was easier. Perhaps disappointment makes you look back and say, well, I'm not going to do that again because actually I tried that before and that was an awful place to be. Maybe it's regret that makes you look back because actually God invited you to do something before and to step into something with him before and actually you didn't do it. And how can you possibly take another risk? And would God really take another risk on you? You see, the past can hijack us and distract us from where Jesus is inviting us to go. Individually, the past can distract us and drag us backwards or make us look backwards and stop us from going to where the invitation from Jesus is to go. But actually, it can do the same for us as a church, can't it? I wonder how many of you saw those photos up at the start and thought, man, do you remember what that was like? I just wish. And it's almost like we've got almost one eye on the past and one eye going forward, somehow trying to recreate something that we actually enjoyed or experienced in the past that was good. You know, last week, Laura asked about vision, asked about where are we going, where are we moving forward to? But actually, for some of us, there's a real struggle in terms of pointing forwards and looking to a new vision for the church here in White Inch. Because in actual fact, we're still looking back at what was and trying somehow to recreate what was instead of looking to Jesus saying, I'm inviting you into something new. And for those of us who aren't doing that as far as White Inch is concerned, if you've experienced anything around church before, if you've had a really positive experience of church somewhere else before, then it's really easy to think if we could just do it like we did it then this would be great. Then we could recreate this. I want to say to you this morning that if as a church here we really want to move forward, then there's no looking back. That's what this passage says. If church really wants to move forward, then there's no looking back. So what is it that Jesus is highlighting to us this morning? What is it that he's highlighting to us that we're in danger of keeping one eye behind us instead of both eyes looking forward? What is it that he's highlighting to us this morning? Maybe it is that thing of what we enjoyed in the past. Maybe it is that experience of church that we've had before, or fellowship that we've had before, that we are desperate to recreate. We sung the new wine song this morning. This is about new wine. And actually Jesus tells us that we don't put new wine into old wineskins. So what wineskins do we actually need to throw away as the church here in White Inch, whether it's because you've been here a long time or because it's something you've brought in with you? What wineskin do you need to get rid of in order to be able to hold the new wine that Jesus offers to help us to move forward? So if there's stuff that's holding us back as individuals in terms of stepping into where God's inviting us to be, and that might be that God's inviting you to take a risk with him for the very first time, and you've never done that before. He's inviting you to leave behind all the stuff that you thought was worth it as far as life is concerned and trade all of that for all of him. Maybe that's the invitation to somebody this morning, and actually you're weighing up whether or not that's worth taking. What is it that's stopping you from moving forward? What is it that has your hand on the plow with you still looking backwards? What is that? What is it for you in terms of church that stops you from moving into the new thing? Stops you from following Jesus, hook, line, and sinker into the place that he's going? That causes you not to set your face resolutely to go in the direction that Jesus is going? What is that? And once you know what it is, then what do you do with it? How do we do this? How do we move forward into the thing that Jesus is calling us into and not get pulled back? I wonder what it is you need to bring to Jesus this morning. And Gordy already started that this morning. We sung that we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. What is it that you need to lay at the feet of Jesus this morning? Maybe it's a relationship that you are holding on to, desperate, thinking maybe that can be fixed and actually we can move forward together. Maybe you need to lay that at the feet of Jesus. I'm not saying it won't be fixed, but maybe it's not you that does the fixing of it. Maybe it's a particular behavior that you're involved with, a particular way of you being that you know gets in the road of you moving forward with Jesus. Maybe it's a mistake that you made in the past that is now holding you back from moving forward. Maybe it's regret, or maybe it's hurt, maybe it's loss, maybe it's self-doubt. How could Jesus possibly use me to move forward? Maybe it's concern about being overcommitted. Maybe it's a fear of not being enough, or maybe it's a fear of being too much. What is it that Jesus is inviting you to lay down this morning so that you don't need to continue looking back and you can look forward? The thing really is, according to this passage, that if you're serious about moving forward today, then this is the day that the invitation comes to you to give up looking back. We're going to pray just now. And I'm going to ask Jesus to come and to show us the things that we are holding on to that stop us from moving forward. And I want to encourage you to meet with Jesus here this morning and do business with him. We're going to ask him to show us the things that hold us back, and then we're going to bring those things and we're going to hand them to Jesus. So we're going to do the old inner healing thing this morning that I've certainly not done here for quite a while. So we're going to do that this morning. So why don't you settle yourself down and set your face, set your intention resolutely to do business with Jesus this morning. Let's pray together. Jesus, we come to you this morning to ask you to show us those things which hold us back from completely responding to your invitation to follow you. Jesus, we want to follow you completely, but we come to confess today that sometimes we're really not very good at that. Jesus, we confess that so often we want all of you, but we only want to give you a bit of us. We want to keep some of us as an insurance policy just in case this doesn't work out. Jesus, we want to follow you completely, not looking back or holding back. Jesus, in the silence of this place now, will you show us anything which causes us to look back instead of looking forwards? Anything which causes us to be distracted from your invitation to walk forwards in our personal life or in our corporate life here with you. I want to encourage you this morning to let him show you what that is or what those things are. And then to bring them to his feet. And actually maybe to take a leaf out of Sadie's book and not hold back, running to the front with them. To actually take those things and to actually run with them to the feet of Jesus. So Jesus, this morning we bring you relationships which hold us back. Jesus, we bring you regrets. Jesus, we bring you the people who would distract us and who would have us look back. We bring you the situations in our lives which distract us from moving forward. Jesus, we bring you our disappointments. Jesus, we also bring you our successes. Those things in the past that we were just up there on cloud nine with because we saw you doing this stuff. And if those things are holding us back from moving forward, then we bring them to you. Jesus, we bring you the things that we've loved in the past. Jesus, we bring you the people and the places which belong to the past. Just in your imagination, I would invite you to picture yourself laying these things at the feet of Jesus, and they might be represented by something, you know, so it might be boxes that you put at Jesus' feet, or it might be the actual thing or a picture or whatever. And actually, if it's important to you, you might actually want just where you're sitting just now to make your hands move as if you are laying the things at the feet of Jesus. Jesus, as we lay these things at your feet, what do you want to exchange them for? Just notice what pops into your head as you lay the things at the feet of Jesus. Because you see, biblically and scripturally, Jesus always trades up. So when we leave our stuff at his feet and ask for that exchange, he always trades up. What's he given you? And what he gives you might not look very grand, and you might not understand it. So perhaps your job over the next week is to ask him what this is and what you have to use it for. Jesus, as your people in this place this morning, we declare that we want to move forward. And that in that moving forward, there isn't any looking back. Jesus, will you come and will you breathe on each of us? And will you show us this week how you want us to move forward with you? Will you show us what you're inviting us into? And will you give us the passion and the resolve to go with you wherever it is that you're leading us? And in that, Jesus, may there be a monumental blessing, not just for each one of us, but for the community here in White Inch and beyond. Jesus, help us to get it right with you so that you can get it right with them. For your sake and for your glory. Amen.